You in the lessons on prayer and tonight about continuing in prayer, because oftentimes even the song that we just sang, he wouldn't deny the things that we ask. And there's all of us have been in this room. We could say, well, I prayed for some things and they didn't happen like I wanted. But I think all of us in this room can also say that you prayed for certain things to happen and they did not happen the way you wanted, but you've lived long enough to realize that that would have been the worst thing that God could have done for you. And so we understand that we call upon His name and we pray. And I will tell you this before we get started about continuing in prayer, and that is that I find if I do continue in prayer, many times my prayers get changed. Have you ever started praying down one avenue, but before you got up, you were praying in a different direction? And almost like a kid that says, well, never mind, I don't want that, or the more you labored in it, God just sort of brought thoughts to your mind, and you thought, well, I'm praying in a different direction. Not that you're wrong necessarily, but I'm praying in a different direction now to seek the Lord in a different direction. Asking for a different thing. In Luke chapter 11, it talks about that famous phrase, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. If you want to, well, I'll read that to you. You can look over in Colossians chapter 4 if you like. And in Luke, though, it tells you this, the Bible says in verse 9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? No, and of course. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This is talking about that persistent friend that comes and verse 6 says, for a friend of mine is on his journey. He's come to me. I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you that he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, but because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And so Jesus teaches through that story that it's the continuing, it's the coming, the importunity, come and come. If you've ever had a toddler in your house, you know what importunity is. Can I? Or a little bit of a toddler, I guess, but can I? And the importunity Jesus teaches us to go again and again. In Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2 says this, continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. I wouldn't embarrass anybody for the world tonight, but if I did and was asked you to raise your hand, I'm not. But if you're like me, you've been convicted multiple times because you got reminded of something later that you were praying for, but you stopped. Maybe somebody reminded you of it, or maybe it just came to mind again and said, oh, almost like, yeah, I should have. I was going to do that. I should have been doing that. I typically, when I tell folks I'm going to be praying for you, I try to pray as I'm walking away so that at least I do it then, if not later. But the Bible says we're supposed to continue in prayer. And I have to confess to you that there have been many things that I didn't continue in prayer about. I started and maybe a token prayer, but I didn't labor and didn't continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So that watching is staying vigilant. It's in your introduction there. Against temptation, you're staying strong. And then the Bible talks about doing it with thanksgiving, of course. And so I want you to look through these seven or eight thoughts tonight about continuing in prayer. And I want you to compare your prayer life to what we're talking about tonight. Are you continuing? And if you're not, then I challenge you to take the biblical mandate, the biblical command to not only say a prayer, but continue in that prayer. So we've already looked at Luke 11. Well, another story given in Luke 18 and talking about that same thought, and that is continuing to ask. Again, it's great to say, Lord, I pray that you'll work that out for my friend. But what I find is better through Scripture is that you go again and again and again, continue to ask, Lord, would you work in this on this behalf? You say, well, can't the Lord hear the first time? Yes, but he wants to get us in tune with him. And so one of the ways that he's designed that we do that is that we labor and we continue in prayer. But not only continue, but I give you this second one here, and that is to be comfortable with the activity of prayer. Over in Psalm 37, my pastor uses this as his life verse if he was writing one down, and he talks about in Psalm 37 that God gives us the desires of our heart. Let me read this to you. Scripture tells us in Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. But verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And so what I list at this point as, I was trying to think of this outline, to be comfortable with the activity of prayer. Well, you say, how do you get comfortable with prayer? How do you get comfortable with anything else? You stay around it. How do you get comfortable with somebody you don't know? Well, you stay around them long enough and you start to know them, and then the Lord gives good friends. Over in Psalm 1, where it talks about walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, and it talks about how we're supposed to walk in a godly way. And so it should be that you walk in such a way that your prayer life, life of prayer, is not contrary to the other things that you do. I don't have to ask you this because I know the answer again, but many of us have seen some worldly figure. I don't mean worldly as in wicked, but worldly as in of the world. And their life isn't godly because you've been seeing them. And then they'll bring out a prayer or a God reference. Kind of shocks you and takes you back. I didn't know they knew that. Well, I don't know whether they do or not either. And some of the songs, my brother was saying, he was at some event and the person was singing some song about the Lord and about goodness of God. And then, but said then the very next song was talking or was singing, that same person was singing something that was totally the complete opposite of following God. And so what I mean, by being comfortable with the activity of prayer is live your life in such a way that you are always ready and always comfortable, always able to be praying. Men ought always to pray, the Bible says, and not to faint. And so we should be living our lives. You've had this thought, and many people would live this way. And that is when you know there's something wrong in your life, you plan on getting it right. I don't think that most of the people, at least not the ones that are here tonight, live a life to say, oh, I just want to stay wrong with God. No, we want to get right with God. But there'll be times in our lives when we're frustrated about something that's happening. They'll be upset about a situation. We'll be mad. We labeled all different things, but mad is a good one. And we plan to get right with God eventually, just not right now. Lord, leave me to sit, soak, and sour in my mad attitude right now. You say, well, that's not a way to live. I know it's not a way to live, but all of us do that from time to time. And so instead, what we should do is be comfortable with prayer, be living in such a way that we are just able to be, as the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Be getting our delight, our happiness, our joy, our contentment, our smiles, our good thoughts. I want you to listen again to that verse, delight thyself also in the Lord. What is it that delights me? What is it that makes me smile? What is it that makes me happy? Well, the Scripture says I'm supposed to be living that way, or I'm supposed to be making that true about the Lord. Delight myself also in the Lord. And then as I delight myself in His way, or I'm comfortable with Him, He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So be comfortable. Number 3, a great, great, great comfort is found in Jeremiah 33:3. And in that verse, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We would call that a prayer promise. And so as we are being comfortable with prayer, you also ought to rehearse the prayer promises. Rehearse them. Put them on a 3x5 card if you're old school. Print them out on your computer on a piece of paper and tape it to the dash, not over your speedometer. We don't want you to get you a ticket, but tape it up there somewhere so that you know, lo, I'm with you always. Whatever you want to put on there, but put some prayer promises on there that ask and it shall be given, like we've already talked about. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things as we've listed here together tonight. But I'm saying we ought to rehearse the prayer promises. You say, why? Let's just figure it out here. One of the equation is prone to forget. Me or God? Well, it's not him. Sometimes I've heard preachers say, I just told God this. Well, I understand what they're meaning, but remember this, as we proclaim those prayer promises, we're doing more reminding to ourselves than we are to him. Because faith is lacking on my part, ability is not lacking on his. Rehearse those prayer promises. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Not a prayer promise per se, but certainly a promise. And so next, number four, is fast and pray. The Bible talks about some things that Jesus says in Mark chapter 9, that there are some things that come forth by prayer and fasting. If you're not familiar with fasting, it's basically giving up an earthly benefit, eating usually, but something else could be as well, but giving it up to give yourself to prayer. It's not a, what do they call it? It's not a torture device. It's not something that, well, if I hurt myself, then God's going to be impressed with my pain. It's not that. What instead it is it's you giving up something that we can do without, and sometimes your health conditions you can't do without, this is not a blanket statement, but it's you giving up something that you can do without to say, Lord, I want to do that because I want to be closer to you and I want to fast and pray. You've saved up money, something that you could have spent money on, but you didn't want to spend money on what you wanted because you instead want to save the money up for your sweetheart. Right, men? You have done that. I'm afraid, it's like these guys back here, I ain't never done that. I just nod. Nobody will know but you. Well, her, but hopefully she'll stay quiet. You've denied yourself something that you could have wanted because you want to save up a few extra bucks because you wanted to use that money to buy something for her, or ladies, for him. Same concept. Lord, I want to give this up, not because your wife knows that you love her already. It's not because you've got to prove that to her. It's not because there's going to be some reward in it for you because you do it. It's just that you want to do it for her. And so that similar in the way of fasting, Lord, I want to do this. I want to give up this, or I want to say goodbye to that for some time because I want to dedicate myself to pray, fast and pray. The next one, number five, watch and pray. The Bible tells us, and for the sake of time, I'll just continue on, but Matthew 26, you've got the references there, that we are supposed to watch and pray. Watch that ye enter not into temptation, the Bible says. Watch, we know what that is. Stand watch. Be vigilant. Just be on guard. It was in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2, where we started. Continue in prayer and watch, staying that vigilant way. It's work to pray. You know what happens a lot of time when you're praying? You're already in a position that you can, bodily position, and you got to work. And then not only that, maybe you're not sleepy at all. You know what else happens when you go to prayer? Somebody knocks at your bedroom door. Somebody knocks at the front door, rings the doorbell. Your phone rings. You hear a ding. You hear some notification. You hear all of these things. It takes vigilance to pray, watch and pray. And then this one I just added on here. This is the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer, if you want to look at it that way. But in Matthew chapter 6, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I just put this on here, but rejoice in God's character. As you're in prayer, remember who you're praying to. Hallowed be thy name, God. You're the holy, almighty God. I'm coming to you. And again, you're not reminding him of anything that he's forgotten, but I certainly wanted to take time in the morning when I pray to God and say who he is. Lord, you're the God that hears and answers prayer. And you say, John, who are you doing that for? I think I'm doing it for me, but it just reminds me, the world would say, as they're going to a ball game, they say, we're getting psyched up. Well, we're not getting psyched up. But we are increasing our faith and saying, this is the God that we're praying to, rejoicing God's character. And then 7, pray unselfishly. In James chapter 4, it talks about when we pray, sometimes we'll pray, we'll ask amiss, meaning we'll miss the mark, and we'll pray for something we ought not, that we might consume things on our own lusts. We ought to try to work and pray unselfishly. That's where I think I was talking about earlier, that I've started one vein, but I ended another vein in prayer. Because God revealed some things to me while I was praying that I was really being selfish in what I was asking. And God says, he didn't say it, I didn't hear it, probably scared me to death, but it seems like he said, I don't want you praying for that anymore. And I said, well, Lord, forgive me. And then change gears and go a different direction. So pray unselfishly. And then, I don't have time to develop this, but there's an interesting story in Isaiah chapter 54. Where they're talking about the people of Israel, and it says that in a little bit of wrath, God hid his face from Israel. Well, the story is built that God, it did seem like the people of Israel, they were kind of hidden from God, which we know that's not true, but they were building this story as a teaching moment or teaching time, that it seemed as if God was hiding his face. But God was going to be with them forever, and he was going to bless them abundantly. And I put this last one on here to trust God's presence by faith. If it seems God is far from you, like it seemed like he was far from the Israelites, sometimes our prayers, you have to go through them, and it doesn't just seem like they're working. And that story in Isaiah tells that time that God hid his face, but he was going to have everlasting kindness, the Bible says, upon them afterward. Trust God by faith. You know, we're supposed to live by faith. And by faith we live. And so since we live, we're supposed to be living by faith. But we're also supposed to be living in the attitude of prayer so that we can easily deduce that we are supposed to pray by faith as well. Not only, Lord, please work, but even when it doesn't seem like it is making any sense, it doesn't seem like it's making any headway, that we are praying and saying, Lord, I'm trusting you that you will work. So God tells us to continue in prayer and watch. I trust that God has burdened us tonight to be those praying people who stick to it and continue. Father, bless us now, is our prayer. And Lord, I pray that everybody, the person standing and all the rest, I pray that we've all gotten bolstered to continue more in prayer. Lord, I pray that some of the folks sitting in front of me would go back and pick up some of those prayer requests that we've ceased praying for. Get back on the path. Lord, maybe there's some unsaved brother, unsaved sister, that we've let our prayers wane for them. Lord, get us back on the firing line. Help us, push us to continue in prayer, I pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As the ladies begin to play, if God's speaking to your heart, there's plenty of room to get out and come on down the altar. You're welcome to come down and pray about anything that you desire to tonight. It's the invitation. Maybe there's just something heavy on your heart and you want to come and pray. The altar is open for you. Maybe you're making an altar out of your seat right there, just where you sit. You're saying, Lord, I need to be more faithful. I need to be more fervent in prayer. I need to follow through with it. I need to continue in prayer. I don't think that any of us are going to stand here tonight and say, I'm just praying too much. I'm too faithful. I'm too continuing. I believe we all can have some work on that. If you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved, I invite you to come, my friend. Let me take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved on your way to heaven. Lord willing, we'll baptize somebody this Sunday. Maybe you say, Pastor, I've never been baptized after I got saved. and you'd like to take care of that this Sunday, we'd love to have you. Whatever God's moving on your heart to do, would you do business with Him tonight? We'll just take this next stanza. But I'm asking everybody, make an altar out of your seat right there where you sit. Say, Lord, I want to be more thorough in prayer. I want to labor in it. I want to continue in it. I want to watch and pray. I want to fast and pray if that's what need be. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, I'll let the guys know, let me know when the live stream is off. We do have a business meeting tonight. We want